Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator, Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day, be it Wednesday or Thursday. Thanks for joining us here. Hey, now, if it's Wednesday, and if you're listening in at 5:30 p.m., you've got time to make it to our Bible study here tonight. At Island Community Church, we're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Our Wednesday night studies are Wednesday night, obviously, at 6 o'clock. You're invited. So get in that car and point it towards 1000 North Banana River Drive. Stop by for our Bible study night. We are going to have an awesome time in the Word here on this Wednesday night, looking at Jesus' signs of his return. We're in Luke chapter 21. You are invited. Now, here on the radio, starting today, is our brand new series and on the man, Moses. Moses, the man of faith, is our five-week series here. And we just started. I just started preaching that on Sunday. And you're going to hear that now on the radio here today and tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. I'll be preaching the second part of this on Sunday. You are invited. So if you're looking for a church home, if you like what you hear on the radio here, I invite you to come by, fellowship with us, worship Almighty God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit at our church on a Sunday. See if perhaps the Lord's leading you there. I know this, if you come and visit, you'll hear the Word of God and you'll be warmly greeted by myself and this wonderful church family here. So, okay, this is part one of this message. Or actually, it's two parts. Moses, the man of faith, is the first sermon. This will play Wednesday and Thursday, and we'll be back with that again next week. So, okay, enjoy today's message. Okay, does everyone have a handout here for today? If you need one of these, raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get one immediately. If you need a handout, anybody? Everyone have one? Again, too, if you're visiting. Normally, I'm a New Testament verse-by-verse kind of guy. I preach books in the New Testament verse-by-verse. Now, if you're visiting here today, we're going to look at Moses for the next 5 weeks. That's kind of out of character for me, but that's good. I love the challenge of stepping out of what we usually do. We're going to look at Moses here. Now, I want to take a few weeks, five actually, to look at the life and times of Moses. I think this will make for some interesting, power-packed sermons as we look at this great man of faith. Let's start this series here with a prayer. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for Moses. Thank you for the fallen people and the dysfunctional people and families in the Bible. It's a great comfort to us to know that they are beloved in your eyes, and there's hope for us when we see the Bible's full of imperfect people, murderers, blasphemers, and that you still forgave them and used them and saved them. We ask for your blessings in this series here now in Moses. Help us to relate it to things here today. Help us to take to heart these timely truths revealed in this man, Moses. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's turn to Genesis. You guys can thumb to chapter 37. I'm going to work my way there. We're going to work our way up to Moses. We're barely going to even talk about him today. But we got to work our way here and understand how Moses and how the Jewish people ended up in Egypt. So we're going to work our way there. Now, in the last chapter of Genesis, this here is the scene. Now, Jacob has died.
His son Joseph is second in charge over all of Egypt. Jacob's other 11 sons were afraid that once Jacob was dead, that Joseph was going to get revenge on them for throwing him into a pit and selling him as a slave. Everyone remember that for the most part? Now let's go back there for a moment. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37 and let's pick it up in verse 18. Genesis 37, 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Now this is Joseph and his 11 brothers, or 10 brothers at this point. So when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We'll see what will become of his dreams." Keep in mind that Joseph had a dream that his brother, or rather his entire family, was going to bow down to him. That was his dream. Here's something else to remember, too. If you ever have a dream in which you were going to rule over your big brothers, it'd be a good idea that you kept that dream to yourself. Verse 21. Now, Reuben heard it. Reuben is the second oldest. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him here into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him," so that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic or coat of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Now after this, here was the response from Joseph's brothers. Verse 25, it says, "And they sat down to eat a meal." Wow, talk about dysfunctional family. Look at this hatred these brothers had for Joseph. Do you know how this came about? Favoritism in a family. Favoritism in the family. His dad favored one child over the other. That's how this happened. Jacob loved Joseph more than his other sons. And as a result of this, his brothers hated him and wished him dead. And they threw him into a pit and then sat down and had a liverwurst sandwich for lunch. They probably didn't eat liverwurst, did they? There was no Braunschweiger man back then, right? Now, having grown up in a great family, I can't relate. My family was not dysfunctional. What am I, the only one here? You laugh. Oh, boy, what, you can tell some stories, huh? Look at what else these brothers did. Verse 31. So they took Joseph's tunic. They killed a kid, or they killed a baby goat, dipped the tunic in his blood. Then they sent the tunic, or coat of many colors. They brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether this is your son's tunic?" No, it's that, "your son's." How about our brother? "This son of yours." Sounds like the prodigal son, right? When this son of yours made merry. Here it's, you know, "Is this your son of yours?" They didn't even consider him as a brother. "Is this your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, crying, "You know it. Yep, it's his. A wild beast." Now this is his father speaking. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Anyone here have any children? Can you imagine saying that? That your son has been dismembered and is in pieces? Or your daughter? How do you think this guy felt? How could these guys do this to him? Verse 34, then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son for many days. And all of his sons and his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, I will go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Imagine that. Imagine doing that to your dad. Imagine causing your father or mother extreme grief and not caring about what this did to their father. I wonder how they arose to comfort him. What did they do to him? The Bible's full of dysfunctional and sometimes bad people, is it not? Almost kind of comforting that if God can love this bunch, that there's hope for me too. The Bible certainly is not an antiseptic book, is it? It's full of dysfunctional sinners. People that if they applied for a job, imagine if Moses came in here and applied for a job as pastor after I dropped dead. Let's see your resume, Moses. Well, let's see. I killed someone back when I was 42. Oh, there's the door. Or the Apostle Paul. What'd you do for a living? Oh, I dragged out Christians from door to door, and I laughed when they were killed. There's the door. Paul said, Christ Jesus has came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And there's going to be a pillar with his name on it when it comes down out of New Jerusalem. There's hope for us yet. Verse 36. Now the Midianites had sold him, that's Joseph, in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and the captain of the guard. All right, so there's the backdrop. There's how the Jews ended up in Egypt. Now, Jacob's dead. He does get reunited with his son. Jacob dies. Now, Genesis chapter 50. You want to flip a couple chapters? Genesis chapter 50, and let's pick it up in verse 15. Genesis chapter 50. Now, after all that had happened to this guy, these guys are scared to death now. Once the old man's dead, what are they going to do now? So, verse 15. Now, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us. Gee, you think? Perhaps Joseph will hate us, and he may actually repay us for all the evil that we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. What a lie that is. It's like Satan says, right? Skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give to save his own hide. All right. So Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Verse 18. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. So Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. For am I in a place of God? But as for you, look at what this man said to these guys. As for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Did you catch that? God meant it for good, Joseph said. That's one of the most important verses in all the Bible. God meant all this evil for good. He didn't stop it from happening, but he turned it around for good. He said earlier in chapter 45, verse 8, I don't know if that's on the handout or not. Chapter 45, verse 8. Yes, it is. He says it again. Listen to this. He said, God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he's made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord over all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Whoa, what an astounding statement this is. God did all of this to me. All right, let me water that down for those of you that can't hack that. God, let me soften that a little bit. God orchestrated all that. All of it. Look at these seven things that God orchestrated to him. Number one, he was treated roughly. Number two, he was thrown into a pit. Number three, the entire incident caused great grief to befall Jacob, his father. Number four, he was sold as a slave. Number five, he was wrongly accused of a crime. Now, let me interject here. Then don't start a riot. Try trusting in God. If you're wrongly accused of a crime, why don't you try trusting in God instead of burning up the town like you see out here in the news today? Try trusting in God instead of burning up the town that you live in. You see, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. You're not the first one this has happened to. He didn't go around burning the town down. Number six, he was cast into a dark dungeon. Number seven, he was there for 13 years. 13 years, Tim. And he says, God did this. You meant it for evil. Oh, that's sure. You did all this. You threw me in there. You meant this for evil. But God's bigger than you is. And he's greater than you. And he took what you did and he turned it around for good. And he'll do the same thing for you in your life too. No matter what the devil throws your way, sickness, evil, harm to your family, God will take it. To all of you that love him, all of you that are called according to his purpose, God will take that. Even though these bad things may happen to you, God is going to turn them around for good. Because that's what he does. And that's who he is. Don't you think he might be a little bit sore at God over all this? Let me ask the question, would you be? Would you be mad at God if you were accused of rape falsely and thrown in jail for 13 years? Would you be mad at God? But this is what Joseph says. So now, this wasn't you people that sent me there. God sent me. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. You see, church, this proves what the Apostle Paul said, that all things work together for good to those that love God. To those who are the called. That is, remember, God chose you from before the foundation of the world. That's called, I choose you for salvation. And you say, I receive that, Lord. I call on the name of the Lord to be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For all of you that have made that public confession, God said, I've got your back. And in your life, everything is going to work out for good one way or the other. You might not see it right now. You might not see it right now. Because you might be in the middle of darkness right now. Where these bad things have happened to you that you didn't invite or call or ask for. Or through no fault of your own. Like Job. In Genesis chapter 42 verse 36. Jacob cried out. He said, all of these things are against me. You know what? Wrong. All these things are for you. All these things are for you. You just can't see it at the time. Jacob was wrong when he said that. He didn't know that Almighty God was working behind the scenes to have all this work out for good. Just didn't know it. I love that verse, Genesis 42, 36. So encouraging to me. All these things are against me. Now, God might not cause the difficulties in your life, but he can and will cause it to work together for good. All right, and now here, Joseph's not sore. Look at what he says in verse 21. He says, now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them. Getting hot in here. He comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim, that's one of his two kids, Ephraim's children to the third generation. And Joseph said to his brethren, I'm dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, there's the prophecy. Someday soon, God's going to come back again, and he's going to take all of you, all of the nation of Israel, that weren't a nation yet, all of the Jewish people. The prophecy is God's going to come back and take all of you Jews out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. That's how all this came about. Because something bad happened to somebody good. And he decided to trust God in the face of adversity, even when he didn't understand. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him as Lord. You're bigger than this. I don't understand it, but I trust you. I don't understand it, but I believe you're going to get me through this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. All right, so Joseph died. Verse 26, Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. There you have it. Now, on to Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. Now, Joseph died, and all that generation. Okay, Exodus chapter 1. Joseph died on all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and a new king that did not know God ultimately. Just like this country. There's a new king here in the United States that doesn't know God either. Because if he did, he wouldn't do the things that he does. Notice, too, how both our king and this one are both abortionists. They worship at the same altar. Matter of fact, that's a requirement to serve as king of this country now. Or they'll run your butt out of town so fast, they'll rig any election to get rid of you. Verse 9, he said to the people, okay, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Verse 9, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. Verse 15, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. Boy, that's just the opposite of China, isn't it? They just flip the script in China. They keep keep the boys and throw out the girls.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Our Lord says, if we will ask, if we will seek, if we will knock, it shall be given to us. There is no substitute for prayer. If you need one thing in this life, you can perhaps substitute something else, but there's no substitute for prayer. Not eloquence, not intellect, not energy, not enthusiasm, not intention. There is no substitute for prayer. I believe the greatest unused and untapped resource in the world is prayer. It's not if somehow we could harness lightning or somehow tap into the resources of the mighty tides of the ocean as they ebb and flow. The greatest untapped, unused resource is not some use of atomic energy. It is prayer. Prevailing prayer. I don't have a failure in my life, but what it is a prayer failure. I don't have a sin in my life, but what proper prayer would have avoided it. I don't have a need in my life that cannot be met through prayer, prevailing prayer. What fools we are if we don't pray.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
We're dust to dust, breathing amazing grace.